Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Vespers. My name is Melinda, and I serve here as a member of the community and as pastor. You need three things. If you're new to the Holden community, you look for the things that you need on the table right outside, and there'll be a stand kind of showing you. So you need a red hymn book, you need the Unfailing Light worship booklet, and then you need the little half sheet that says Sundays and Advent. And if you don't have any of those things, this is a perfect time to get up and move about the cabin and grab what you need or send a messenger from your party to go get it for the rest of the group. Some words about this. The Unfailing Light liturgy is one that we sing frequently here in Love. I'm using parts of it as part of our four Sundays in Advent this December. But we'll be skipping around a little bit, so just so you're ready for that. There will be two different hymns, one after the sermon and one at the end of the service, that will come out of your red hymn book. And I think that's it. Please know that our desire is that you enjoy worship, and that means participating however you feel comfortable. As Lutherans, we do a fair amount of standing and sitting. We do less of that here at Holden Village. But please know that you're welcome to participate. If it's life-giving just to kind of sit and let people sing and pray around you, that's great. And to use whatever words speak the truth that is within you. I believe that the reflection of God exists in every last one of us in all its variety. And so we invite you to be fully present and how that is meaningful to you this night. So this is the fourth Sunday in Advent. And we begin with a brief order of confession and forgiveness. It's found on page 20 in your Unfailing Light booklets. As you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand. We begin in the name of the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt, but looks upon us in compassion, forgives our sin, and heals our lives. Therefore, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Have mercy, O God.
Against you, you alone have we sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt. Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit and restore your joy within us.
As tender as parent to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. And as far as east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
We join in singing the Kyrie found on page 18.
Holy.
Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and resolve, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may hear and receive your promises. For you live and lead with the Creator and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we now hear from our Holy Scriptures.
Can you hear me okay?
Great.
Great. The reading is from the 80th Psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We turn to the gospel acclamation found on page 7 in your Unfailing Light booklets. I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable. Chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So we've got four of them in our Holy Scriptures, but each gospel is different. Each has kind of their own character and thrust as to what the person who wrote down the story of Jesus held as most important. We have three that run more or less in the same chronological order. The fancy word for them is the Synoptic Gospels. They're Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does his own thing, mixing up the order of events for his own theological framing. And in many church communities, Lutherans being some of them, we follow a three-year cycle called the lectionary. And there are assigned readings each week. One year focuses on Matthew, the next on Mark, and the third year on the cycle is on Luke. So we've just finished, if you noticed, and have been going to church lately, a year in Luke. And in the last 3 weeks, as we begin the new church year with Advent, we enter Matthew once again. Now, our best guess is that Matthew's gospel was written for a mostly Jewish audience. So his telling of Jesus' story, this story about the babe being born in the manger, it was important to not just tell a new story, but to ensure its continuation. It was about connecting it to an older one, to a treasured and favorite story. Connecting it to the glory days of when David was king, a time when the people of Israel knew who they were. Or at least that's how they remember it. Ah, yes, the wonderful days of King David. For the people of Israel, the days were not always wonderful. King David, if you know his story, wasn't actually all that perfect. Neither was his son, King Solomon, and those were the good days. Israel's leadership would break in two, and between a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and then the north kingdom would fall to the Assyrian Empire, and then the south would fall to the Babylonians. And as the people were being dispersed and removed from their homes, their utter communities destroyed, a prophetic voice would rise up. It would come from Isaiah saying, "Hear then, O house of David, God will give you a sign. Look, a young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so the people waited. And they waited some more. They got used to the waiting. Generations went by, and now perhaps a little numb to this waiting for the Messiah, the anointed one, the God with us person. And depending on the day, depending on the politics and the economics of the given moment in time, sometimes people were in despair and sometimes in hope. And some days they just stood, like the writer of today's psalm that you heard Linda read, pleading, "Please, O God, let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved." But waiting is never easy. And seeing and believing the thing that we've been waiting for when it's been taking so long in the coming, that's a whole other challenge. Enter today's story about Joseph. God is indeed entering, coming in this story, becoming human, physically present in our midst with the promise to save. Now, one little note, just because I think this is crazy cool, in the Gospel of Matthew, when they talk about salvation, it's not just an individual thing. When you hear about Jesus coming to save us from our sin, right? It's not an individual kind of thing. Sin is not about you or me, but it's about us. No saving can happen without everyone being in on it. Scholar Wesley Allen says that one thing is clear in Matthew, sin is corporate. So the salvation that Jesus is to bring, it's social, it's political, dare we say, even cosmic in nature. So God is indeed coming. And this is to be good news for all of us. Unless squandering the rights of others is your thing, then it's probably not good news for you. So Joseph, he finds out that his soon-to-be wife, Mary, is already pregnant. And we know that Joseph is a righteous man, because it says that in verse 19, he's a righteous man. So we know that he was going to do the right thing, right? According to Jewish law, he was to separate himself from her, break relations. So, as a righteous man, that was his plan. But Joseph was not only righteous in religious adherence, but he was also kind and decent and didn't want to humiliate Mary publicly. The gospel tells us that too. So he planned to end things with her quietly. Now, because the way the words sort of flow out in Matthew's telling of this, I imagine Joseph was playing out this scenario, laying there, losing sleep one night, right? He's got his mat out on the floor of his home, and he's trying to go to sleep, but he can't because he's wanting to do right by Mary, but also to live by the law of his people, having a hard time falling asleep, just wanting to do the right thing, the righteous thing. And then just as he comes to some peace about how he's going to handle the Mary situation, he falls off asleep. And then scripture says, but just then, when Joseph resolved to do this, an angel of God appeared to him in a dream. And God's messenger said, Joseph, son of David. You catch the David reference, right? Joseph is like the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of King David. Cool, right? Okay, so Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid. Yeah, right. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for, and we could insert here, she was telling you the truth, right? She had told him that she had become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She knew that she and God had had that conversation, or well, an angel anyway. So you could insert that do not be afraid to take Mary your wife because she's telling you the truth, but she was a 14-year-old girl in the first century, and she probably needed somebody to back up her story. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Now, we are so used to hearing that name that we don't think much about it. But the name Jesus, or Jeshua, means the one to rescue, the one who is going to deliver. So God says, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save the whole lot of us. Remember, this is an individual gift. The fullness of our communities, insiders and outsiders become us. We will be saved together. And it all starts with this guy that, in my opinion, had every right to walk away. I always thought it was strange that they make this big deal, you know, the root of Jesse, that turn of phrase, Jesse was King David's dad, so that this idea that Jesus is the root of Jesse, right from this family tree, comes down from King David, and Mary was his mom. Like, Joseph is like the adopted dad, right? So I just always thought that was strange, that this royal line thing is so important, when it's through Joseph, the adopted father, and not Mary. I mean, does it even count, I ask, I wonder. Here's the thing. I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal to God. I think God was going to do what God was going to do. God sees all of us and everything as holy, and seeing is believing. But getting us to see it and believe it when the promised thing comes, that's a whole other challenge, which is why I think Joseph's role in this is so important. God can do a miraculous thing, and we can still walk away, right? God could impregnate a young woman, and Joseph could still walk away, but he didn't. And we don't have to either. Joseph chose to participate in this mysterious thing. And then connections were made. Human history got woven together in fresh ways, and I believe that we can do this too. Turns out, being righteous is not about following the letter of the law. This is something that Joseph had to learn. It is about leaning into the mystery. Being righteous is about listening to our dreams. It's about taking risks when our society may think we're a little nuts. I close with an excerpt from Anne Wein's poem, In Search of New Places. In each heart lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. When we are Bethlehem bound, we experience our own advent in his, meaning in Jesus. When we are Bethlehem bound, we can no longer look the other way conveniently, pretending to not see stars or hear angel voices. We can no longer excuse ourselves by busily tending our sheep or kingdoms. In these last days of Advent, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that God has made known to us, the promised Emmanuel, the promise that God is already and forever shall be with us. Amen. We join in singing O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's hymn number 257, 257 in your red hymn books. There are 8 verses there. We will not sing them all. We'll do the first 3, and then we'll do verse 6. I invite you to stand as you feel comfortable.
Grandson captive.
You may be seated. We join in singing together the prayers found on page 21 in your Unfailing Light books. We join together on the refrain, and I'll be singing the first part of each line of the verses, and then there is a sung response on your book. Into your hands, Holy God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your love and mercy. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And all
with you. I invite you to take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. If you are harboring a cold, I invite you to keep your hands flat.
Yeah, the one that
Continue with the offertory hymn, which is printed on your half sheets.
Thank you.
with a prayer found on page 10 in your Unfailing Light booklet. I invite you to please stand. And let us pray. We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth, and you nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good everywhere and always to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ. You comforted the people with the promise of a Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new. In the day he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unbending hymn. Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Our loving Jesus taught us a prayer, and we know it in many and various versions. I invite you to pray the one that is closest to your heart. Creator God, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God. For you, the people of God, please know all are welcome to this table, as Jesus is the host, and it is he who invites you to come. You may be seated. A couple notes about how we do communion here at Holden Village. We do not want there to be any dietary barriers between you and what is offered. So know that the first station will be a person holding gluten-free wafers. Then I will be the next person with bread, and I will hand you probably a sizable chunk, so don't be surprised by that. And then next to me will be the common cup, and you can either dip the bread right in that, or you can drink from it directly. And especially if you have a cold, but even if it's just your preference, we have individual cups. And the first person here will be wine. Thank you. And then the second person is juice. And then that's where you put your empty cups. And if you want to come forward, but you're just not sure about communion, know that I would love to offer you a blessing too, and that would be marvelous. So please come as you feel comfortable and called. We would love to have you participate in this meal.
Thank you.
Father Christ given to you.
We sing hymn 289, 289.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all as you call us to love and to serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Our closing hymn is It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, and it's hymn number 282. Let us stand together. Musicians, if you want to play, it's lessons and carols on Christmas Eve, and then we'll do the Christmas Eucharist on Christmas Day. Let me know. I mean, we would love to have you involved. If you read, if you want to help lead in any way, there's signups on the board just outside the door. Now receive this blessing. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, and deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Amen. Go in peace, rest in God, and rise to serve.
Thanks be to God.